5. I'm looking out on friends here that I've known now for 25 years. We were remembering yesterday, Elaine and I, when we first met our dear sister Helen Wilson. We were bleary-eyed. We'd just done a 10-hour flight from Britain. And it was our 25th anniversary yesterday of arriving in Canada. And along with Dave and Eunice, Helen came along to greet us and to welcome us. And it's been good to know them and you, many of you, for that same length of time. The Lord has been faithful. And as we were saying, there were 5 of us when we got together. Now we are 3 dogs and 19 of us all together. So the Lord has been good. I want to read this story. We'll not read every verse, but we'll just begin at verse 1 of John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent or helpless folk, the blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 5, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Or if you want it in plain English, do you want to be made well? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And we look to God to bless that passage to us in a moment. We'll sing one more hymn. Why don't we stand, if able, and sing hymn number 35, Down from the Glory. The Savior came down, or even a gospel. Maybe you've got the Gospel of John in your pocket. Well, turn again to John chapter 5. Wilt thou be made whole? Just 5 words. Do you want to be whole? What a question. Good question. A question number 1 that reveals a need. A question number 2 that offers hope. And a question number 3 that requires an answer. Do you want to be made whole? The word whole is the idea of being made well. I understand our English word hygiene comes from this word. And so 11 out of the 12 times that it's used, it's to do with the idea of your health. But I'm not asking, do you want to be well physically? I'm turning the question to a spiritual need that this little miracle is a picture of. The deep spiritual need that this world has, that we as individuals have. It's interesting, the name of the place where they were all gathered. And don't forget those little important descriptive words. This one said, a great multitude. A great multitude. Now, I don't know how big this pool area was. There were 5 porches. And it's called Bethesda, House of Mercy. Beth is Hebrew for house. So Bethlehem, House of Bread. But here, House of Mercy, or the one I like, House of Loving Kindness. And this became a wonderful place for one man. Now, he spent a lot of time in this place. It almost became more of a home to him than his physical home, if he had one at all. He spent 38 years ill. Doesn't say he's 38 years old. He said he had an infirmity. He had a sickness for 38 years. So I have no idea if the man's 40, 80. I don't know. But we're told how long he'd been ill. We're told where he is. He's close to a pool of water. Now, occasionally, it says, I didn't read verse 4. I don't want to get distracted with the issue of verse 4. But there were some who thought that The waters were troubled, and if you got into the water before the waters went still again, you could be healed. And I'm presuming if the man had been there 38 years and seen others go in and get out, that's why he wanted to go in. Because something happened, whether there were healing properties in the water or whether an angel came, whatever. I don't want you to get distracted with the troubled water. I want you instead to think about your troubled soul. I want you instead to be focused on these three thoughts that this question presents to us. So let's think of the first one. A question that reveals a need. Do you want to be well suggests that you're not well. And so there is a need. And the Lord Jesus is the one who's asking this, not the other way round. Jesus wasn't walking by and the man said, "Excuse me, I'd like to be made well." That wasn't the case. It's very interesting here with this great multitude of sick people. If any of the news about the Lord Jesus had traveled, if any of them had recognized him, what to me is very unusual here is that nobody goes to the Son of God. Not one. Not one. And if they knew he had the power to heal, why didn't they? That's the question I was asking myself. No, the need is great. Now let's just point out something. That word whole is found 6 times in our passage. If we had read on, right to the end of where I ended up in verse 15, in 15 verses, verses 4, 6, 9, 11, 14 and 15. Over and over, this word is there. And it's interesting that it ended, didn't it? It was Jesus. It was Jesus which had made him whole. That's very significant. So here are all these people. Let's look at them first, because he's among them, isn't he? He's among them. A great multitude of impotent, helpless. That's the first thing. Blindness was the second. Halt is lameness. Withered is useless. So there's helplessness, blindness, lameness, uselessness. My, what a group. Motley crew, we would say. But if we're honest, that's a good description of us as sinners. That's a good description of the world as a whole. In sin tonight, men and women, boys and girls, they're helpless. They cannot save themselves. They're blind. They're in darkness. And they don't know the way to heaven. There's a lameness. They can't stand upright in the presence of God. They cannot walk a straight path. Sin has crippled them. Sin has defiled. Sin has caused them to have uselessness. And Satan's very good at highlighting for man his weakness. Oh, he goes the other way sometimes. He'll say that he's got great skill here, and he can achieve this, and he can break this record, and he can do this, which he couldn't do 50 years ago. But still, before God, we're not whole. And I think that's a very appropriate word. Do you want to be made whole? We would always talk about being well. But the idea of being whole to me is complete. And in our sin, we're not complete. We're not what God intended us to be. He's got a divine plan and purpose for the human race. He wants them to love him and please him and glorify him and serve him and worship him. God's got purpose for men. But man's taken up all with himself. And because of his sinfulness and his pride and his selfishness, he's not whole. You're saying you're being a bit hard. You're not being fair. Society's changed. Look at the world we're living in. Look at the problems. Look at the difficulties. Look at the area. Look at the... No, no. Don't look around anywhere. Look in. Have a good look inside. See what God sees. God sees that we're not whole. It's interesting, isn't it? It's a word linked with hygiene. We're not clean. Sin defiles. Sin ruins. Sin separates us from God. Sin puts us on a path away from God and will lead ultimately to destruction and the lake of fire. Friend, tonight, the question is, do you want to be made whole? Well, this was the longing. This was the deep desire in the heart of this man. You glean that from his answer to the Lord Jesus. It seems that every time those waters were troubled, whenever it happened, he made an effort. He had no friend. That was the tragedy. And I wonder if that's the reason why Christ goes to him. Because he had no one else. He had no friend to help him into the water. And every time he tried, someone beat him. So we know it was the longing of his heart. Do you want to be made whole? What about you, friend? Wouldn't you love to be whole? Wouldn't you love to be clean, to be forgiven, to have peace with God, to be prepared for eternity, to have the gift of eternal life? Would you like to be made whole? My, there's a need. And 38 years is a long time. It's possible the Lord Jesus is around 31, 32 years old. Do you know what that tells me? He saw him when he was home at heaven. He saw those early years of that man sitting by that pool and never being able to be helped. Now, I don't imagine, I say this with the utmost reverence, but it comes into my mind, there's no way the Lord had a little notebook in his pocket. But he is God, and he knew, just as he knew the woman at the well, and he had a divine appointment to meet her one day, he had a divine appointment to meet this man one day. And I love to think that tonight, this could be the night he's come to meet you. He's come to ask you, friend, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to have your life changed? That's really what he's saying to the man. Do you want to be whole? What a question. Only you can answer. Only you and God know the truth of whether or not your sins are forgiven and whether or not you're saved. Well, you say, surely you can't be that certain of being saved and going to heaven. Oh, yes, I can. Because the Word of God makes it abundantly clear. There's a moment in time, borrowing the words of the Lord Jesus from this very chapter, just comes to me, verse 24. Verse 24. Truly, truly, said the Lord Jesus, he that hears my word, believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but, it's a great but, it's one of the best buts in the Bible, but is passed from death unto life. That's a moment of salvation. That's a moment of conversion. That's a moment of transaction. You don't wander into Christianity. You don't wander into salvation. You don't just wake up and think, oh, I think I'm saved. I feel I'm saved. No. You know it on the authority of God's word. Because the Lord Jesus says in John 6 and verse 47 again, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. Not maybe, not possibly, but definitely you have. If you believe with all your heart, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you can know it. You can be sure. The question is, do you recognize your need? Because the second thought here is that this question offers hope. The very fact that Jesus says to this man, do you want to be whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Would suggest that he has a solution. He knows something this man doesn't know. For 38 years he's wanted to be made whole and he hasn't got an answer. He has struggled, he has waited, maybe he has prayed even. But he's still as he was 38 years ago. And now comes along someone he doesn't know, perhaps, because I don't know if he knew anything about the Lord Jesus. I don't think so, because of the fact at the end it tells us. The man departed and told them that it was Jesus. He finds out at that point it was Jesus. But here now, by this question, this man is given hope. Why did the Lord Jesus ask him the question? Why didn't he just reach out his hand and touch him? Why didn't he just go up to this man like the blind man? Because he put clay on the blind man's eyes, didn't he? And the man never asked him to. But that's what the Lord Jesus did for him, and then sent him away to wash in the pool, another pool of Siloam. What was the purpose of the question? I think the Lord Jesus wanted to draw out from the man an admission of his own helplessness, of his desperate need for healing. He wanted this man to own up to the need. And maybe tonight, friend, that's part of your problem. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I've often thought about being saved, and I would like to be, I'd like to have my sins forgiven. But I don't know. I don't know about this. And maybe you've never really thought about the fact that you have a need, a real need. And so the Lord Jesus is drawing out this from this man. My friend, tonight there's a living Lord in the glory of heaven who's been on this planet, who knows the hearts of men. And tonight he knows your heart. And he knows that you need salvation. And he knows you need to be saved. But he's just waiting for you to want it, to own up to it, to acknowledge, I am a sinner. You know, this Bible word repentance, the idea of turning away from sin, it has in it the thought of agreeing with God. It has this idea of a change of mind. And we need to have a change of mind. We need to see sin for what God sees it. He abhors it. He hates it with a divine hatred. He cannot permit sin in his holy presence. He's a pure God. And we need to recognize that it's our sin that separates us from God. It's our sin that will keep us out of God's heaven forever unless we are forgiven. Unless our sin is cleansed by his precious blood. But we've got to own up to that. And it's against our human nature, it's against the flesh to admit that I'm wrong. You ask any man here how many times he's found it hard to say sorry to his wife. And I would have still said that if Elaine was here, because I know how hard I found it. We'll say anything, we'll do anything, we'll delay everything, then admit that we're wrong. And the same with you boys and girls, eh? You might be able to say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, which is a big word, which means nothing. But you might find it hard to say sorry. Some of you know Auntie Leanne, my middle daughter. When she was a little tacker, she did something to Helen that she shouldn't have done. It happened about mid-afternoon. She was told that she had to say sorry. And she wouldn't say sorry. Came to supper time, she had no supper because she wouldn't say sorry. You say sorry, Daddy. No, no, you did the wrong thing. You say sorry. Came to bedtime, she still hadn't said it. 6 hours later. Stubborn? So we know what it is not to say sorry. And when it comes to our sin and our holy God, we don't like to admit that we're wrong. But that's the starting point. There'll only be hope when we know there's a problem that only God can resolve, that only God has the answer to. In our sin, we are lost. We are far from God tonight. We're unclean. We need salvation. But here's the good news of the gospel. It's not me saying to you, do you want to be saved? It's not me saying to you, do you want to be whole spiritually? It's the Lord God. A God that truly loves you. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He so loved, couldn't love you any bigger, any better, any more. He loves you. He's the one that offers hope tonight, because he knows what he did upon that cross. He would not promise you salvation 2,000 years after Calvary if Calvary hadn't meant something to his father. Hadn't meant something that was vitally important. You say Calvary, I've heard of Calvary. That's where Jesus died. You're right. It's exactly right. Calvary is where the Lord Jesus died on the center cross. A cruel, torturous death of execution. And yet the one on that center cross had never sinned and couldn't sin. He was the holy, spotless Lamb of God, the Holy Son of God. You say, well, what was he doing there then? He was dying for the likes of you and me. Because we were unclean. We were sinful. We were lost. We were guilty before a holy God. He knew. He had to do something. And that's why this question offers hope. Do you want to be whole? He's really saying to the man, I can make you whole. I can help you. If the Lord Jesus had just died, there would be no hope. I can prove that. Just comes to my mind, 1 Peter chapter 1. What does it say there? 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed, Peter is writing to Christians, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He can offer you hope because he's a living Savior. Yes, he died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again, triumphant from the grave. Never to die again. He lives in the power of an endless life. He's conquered the grave. He's conquered Satan. He's conquered hell. He's ascended on high. And he's Lord of lords and King of kings. And he says to you, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be saved? What hope? It's a living hope. It's a real hope. It's not something that, well, you might get it if you do X, Y, Z. Because there's nothing for you to do. X, Y, Z's been done. Because he said, finished, before he died on the cross. He finished God's work. The payment for sin was paid in full by the precious blood that he shed. Hope. There's certain parts of the world tonight, they don't feel there's any hope. There's certain parts of this city, and they don't feel there's much hope. And there's some lives tonight, and they're wondering whether they'll see the morning, whether it's worth even being alive. They've got no hope. But tonight, the Son of God says to you, do you want to be whole? So it reveals a need, and it offers hope. But the question requires an answer. This man could have said to Jesus, couldn't he? When he said, do you want to be made whole? Sure, but there's no chance of it, is there? Oh, I'd love to be. What can you do? What does he say to Jesus? We've got the answer, don't we? In verse 7. Sir, which suggests he didn't know who he was. Didn't call him Lord or Master. Sir, I have no man. That's really sad, isn't it? I have no man. I should have done a bit more serious study on this. A little verse has popped into my mind. It's running around in my head, but I can't get the pieces together. Somewhere there in the Psalms. Is it around Psalm 145? I have no man. There's a verse there. Duncan, can you help me? Does it come to your mind? No. It's there. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Maybe if I looked at Psalm 145. If the Lord's given me the psalm, I should look it up. Psalm 145. No, the Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him. No, that wasn't the one I was thinking of. Never mind, I'll think of it when I get home. But the thought is, if my memory's right, is that there's no man. No, that was it. No man cared for my soul. That's how it went. No man cared. You get thumbs up. Thank you. No man cared for my soul. Imagine that. He says, "Sir, I have no one." I'm sure that's the reason the Lord went to him. I can't imagine what it must be like to live in a world and have no one. No one to care for you. No one to love you. What did the hymn writer Charles Wheeler say? "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other man could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus." That's what he wrote. And do you know when he wrote it? Sitting on the wharf, alone, because he'd gone home, having been serving the Lord, and when he got home, his unsaved wife had left him a note on the kitchen table. "I warned you, Charles, it was Jesus or me. You've chosen Jesus, I've left you." And on the day he found out that his wife left him, he wrote that hymn. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." This man found that out. This man found that to be true. "Sir, I have no one." And Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Now read it carefully, verse 9. "And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And when the Jews challenged him," look at verse 11, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." And all the way in, you found it? 143. I was only two out. 142. Thank you, Duncan. Well, I was pretty close. The Lord almost got me there. 142, just so that we got that reference, because I think it's an important verse. Psalm 142. There we go. What did you say? And four. There, verse four, yes. Right at the end. "No man cared for my soul." I'll read you the whole verse. It's sad. "I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord." That's the answer. But this man didn't do that. He didn't know the Lord was there to call on. He didn't recognize the Lord Jesus. But here, I was just going to say, I was thinking about it all the way in. Why didn't he say rise? The Lord told him to rise. And the statement after the miracle is, he took up his bed and walked. He didn't say that he rose. The focus is on the miracle moment. And immediately, the moment the word went out of his mouth, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk," immediately the man was healed. And to him the instruction was, "Take up your bed and walk." And that's what he did. And when challenged, he doesn't mention the fact the Lord said, "Rise." He's already up. He's already walking. So he just said, "The man who made me whole told me to take my bed and go home. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing." He was obedient to the Lord's command. No question, no hesitation. His answer. You say, well, it's not an answer of faith, though, is it? It's not a confession. It doesn't really say anything to encourage Jesus to do anything. But there had to be a moment of faith, surely. The moment the Lord Jesus said, "Rise," I wonder if that man went to move. And in an instant, because every miracle was immediate, was perfect, in that moment of believing and acting on the word, we began this morning, when I stood up here this morning, I said to you the value of the word of the Lord Jesus. They had come to hear. And then he had said to Peter, "Launch out into the deep, at thy word." It's the word of God that enables a soul. There's power in the word of God. Paul says in Romans 1, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." There's nothing like the word of God to enable a person to be different, to be cleansed, to be saved, to be made whole, to be changed. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Will you take God at his word tonight? As you hear the question one last time, wilt thou be made whole? Has it revealed your need to you tonight, that you're a lost sinner needing salvation? Has it offered hope in the person of his Son because of Calvary's finished work? It requires an answer. Why go out the same way you came in? I don't know if this man was carried. As I said, he might have just lived at Bethesda. He might have just stayed there because he couldn't do nothing else. But if he had left his home and come to the pool that day with friends, he goes home different. He goes home whole. He goes home healed. He goes home forgiven. You could go home tonight in the same manner if you give him the answer and trust him as your Savior. Let's pray.